This week's parasha, Parashas Tazria, Kapitel Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis, Adam, Ki Yeh Be'or B'Sara Yisa Eis, Yisa Pachas, Yisa Heres, V'Hoya Be'or B'Sara L'Nega Tzeras. So you have a man, Adam. What's Adam? Adam is a man, a person, who's going to have one of these afflictions upon him. V'huvo al Aaron HaKoyen, and he will be brought to Aaron HaKoyen, oy el achav mibonav HaKoyenim, or to one of the sons, the Koyanim. Okay? Why does the Torah use the word Adam? Adam could mean man, Ish could mean man, and Ish could mean man. There's different ways to say man. Why does the Torah use the word Adam over here? The Gemara in Erechin on Daf Tes Vav says there are seven causes for tzaras. Lashon Hara, Hayrig, Shivu Ashav, Gili Arayis, Gzela, Gaiva, and Kina. Not just Lashon Hara. The Gemara says if you're jealous of someone else, if you're gaiva, if you have your haughtiness, you have arrogant, gzela, all these things, you also get tzaras. These are all negative traits that all Yorei Shemayim, you have to stay away from these things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite chesed, gives us tzaras. Tzaras is a wonderful thing. It's not, but it's a wonderful thing. Because it makes us aware that we did something wrong. Sometimes we don't realize it. It makes us aware that we committed one or more of these averus. The hope is, obviously, that we're going to do tshuva. We're going to see, we're going to say, uh-oh, I got tzaras, I did something wrong. You're going to ask God for forgiveness, you're going to do the whole tshuva process, and you're going to get a kapara, and the tzaras will disappear. Torah teaches us tzaras is not a physical illness that needs a doctor. That's not what it needs. Tzaras is a machla, is a disease of the neshama, of the soul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only causes Yidden to have tzaras because He loves Klal Yisrael. Now, of course, every machla really, what's the source of any time someone doesn't feel well? What's the true source of it? It also comes from Averis from somewhere. Everything comes from Ruchnius, really. But the norm of the regular machla has physical manifestations that we see the physical causes. You know, someone goes outside, he catches a cold. Okay, I got a cold. Yes, why does God allow you to have a cold? This comes aside from spirituality.
He needs a kapara for something.
Correct. He definitely starts from something, but tzaras is complete ruchnius. It's a machla that is complete ruchnius. The goyim don't get tzaras. It's a big chesed of the Baruch Shalom. The pasuk says, "Uvor Hashaloi Abayis v'higi lakoyin lemer kinega nearly baboyis." The one that the house belongs to should tell the koyin that he suspects that there is tzaras in the house. As we said before, one of the places tzaras can be is in the house. The Torah's Kohenim says that the owner himself has to go to the Kohen. He can't send someone else. The owner of the house has to go. He's not allowed to send anyone else. Why? The Sifra explains that the owner's statement, when he goes to the Kohen and he says, "I think I have tzaras in my house," this should provoke the Kohen to explain to him the underlying reason for the affliction. It was either his gossip, his selfishness, or one of the other things that we said. And hopefully this will influence him to do tshuva. That's step number one. You go to the Kohen, yeah, if he's going to send the Shliach, so the Shliach will go, and the Kohen will tell the Shliach, and he won't give the message back. The point is that the owner of the house himself should go, and hopefully he will end up doing tshuva. Perhaps we can explain this pasuk. How does a person go about getting rid of his tzaras, purging himself from tzaras? He needs to go to a Kohen. Where does he have to go? What does the pasuk say? V'huva el Aaron HaKoyen, oy el achad mibonav HaKoyenim, to Aaron HaKoyen, or a descendant of his. It doesn't say just go to a Kohen. Go to Aaron or one of his children who are Kohenim. Why is the pasuk telling us so many details about it? Okay, just say, go to Kohen, Aaron and his children, all Kohenim. The pasuk is trying to teach us something. Aaron was a Raidif Shalom and an Ayiv Shalom. He ran after Shalom and he loved Shalom. He did both. He was an Ayiv and a Raidif. One who masters the midas of Ayiv Shalom and Raidif Shalom would not do Averis that cause Teras. Someone who's called Kule Shalom, he's not going to be Iver and Gaiva and Kina and Zela and Lashon Hara. He's not going to be Iver all these things. So you want to know why you have to go, why the Pali says, Behuva la Roin Akoyan, Akoyan, Oy Alachab Nibonav Akoyanim. Why specifically to, as it mentioned here, Aaron and Aaron's descendants? It's to go to the Mida of Oyev Shalom Bereide Shalom. You're going to go to Aaron. You're going to go to one of his children. They're going to say,
how many more children did he have left? Because he two of his children.
It's Bonav refers to descendants. His sons, his grandchildren, anyone that's going to be a kohen.
How many more
children? He had a total of four and two died. He actually had a fifth. He had, well, Elazar had Pinchas, but yeah, Pinchas was alive. But he had four children. But it refers to his descendants. So the point is that when you're going to go to Aaron, and Aaron's going to say, Oi, you have Teras. And you're going to see how he cares about you, how he cares about the shalom between man and his fellow friend, and between man and the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's an Oyev Shalom, he loves shalom, and right the shalom, he runs after shalom. Someone who does that, he's going to realize that these midas, these negative midas, are not for him. And that's going to cause a tshuva to come about. That's what's going to, tshuva is not just having a charata on the past. You could say, I want to do tshuva, I regret what I did, because of maybe what happened, but you also have to make a Kabbalah that you will not do these Averis in the future. A true tshuva is, I have to have Charata on the past, and a Kabbalah on the future. I regret what I did, and I'm not going to do it again. A proper Kabbalah in the future includes a plan that he will not repeat the Averis. You can't just say, I'm not going to do it. You got to figure out a way how you're going to stay away from it. The Chachamim gave us many gedarim. They gave us many rules and they put boundaries all over the place. The Torah says you shouldn't do this, and the Rabbanan says you also shouldn't do that. Why are the Rabbanan do that? Because they want to put boundaries that we shouldn't do things even close to it, so we shouldn't come to do the Daraisa. So we have to put our own boundaries and say, okay, I know that if I'm going to go into a certain area, I'm going to do something wrong. Therefore, I'm not going to go into that area. I'm going to avoid that area. I'm not allowed to go to that certain area, but I'm going to avoid it because I know that I might end up doing something bad. So that's a Kabbalah ala Osir. You have to come up with a plan on how you're not going to be Nechshol again. Aaron HaKohen exclusively needs to identify the Teras in order to transmit his Midas to the Metairah. When you're around the person who's full of Midas Tavis, it ends up rubbing off. There's a concept, it's a true concept. Oyer Shalom, Eroyer Shalom, and Oyer Rosh, Oyer Shem. If you have an evil neighbor, you hang around the evil people, you're going to end up doing things. You don't even realize it. If you hang around with good people, you end up doing good things. You won't even realize it. This is a concrete plan for the future to keep one away from these averes. The Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Samach Aleph, Amar Aleph says, that the word Adam, the title Adam, is used only for Klal Yisrael, exclusively for Klal Yisrael. A goy will never be called Adam, as I state in the Gemara. In Oyer Shalom and Roide Shalom are midos that distinguish Klal Yisrael from all the other nations of the world. The pasuk uses the word Adam here to stress the importance of going to Aaron HaKohen and his son, or his sons or his descendants, who will teach us what separates us from the Umas Ha'olam. That's why it says it's an Adam. Adam is a higher level. But what we're saying is we take our higher level. Adam, man, Klal Yisrael, Kiyah Barbasaris. But first of all, we're on a higher level. The Baruch Hashem loves us, like we just explained before. That Teras only comes to Klal Yisrael. So we take our, even though we didn't have Aver, and a person did one of the Averis that the Gemara in Erechin says, one of the seven Chatorim. But nonetheless, the Baruch Hashem loves him. He's still a Madrega of Adam. We discussed a couple times already in the Murray de Ganayam Megodim that says Adam. What is the word Adam? Aleph? Dam. It says, Laisechu al Adam. You're not supposed to eat food or drink, really. Laisechu al Adam. But we learn out from there, you shouldn't eat before davening. In fact, the name of God, what is Laisechu al Adam? You shouldn't eat al Dam, on blood, have anything to do with not eating before davening. Zokta Noyam Megodim. He says that when a person wakes up in the morning, a yid, he's dam. That's all he is. He's blood. He's not important. How does he elevate himself? How does he get the aleph in front of his name? The aleph representing alufei shel adam. That's a connection to the alufei, the ruler of their world. That's what the aleph represents. The oneness of the Ribbono shel Olam when we daven. If we dive into the Ribbono shel Olam and we recognize that there's a God in the world and there's a God that runs the world, now we're Adam. Lo'seichu al Adam. You shouldn't eat when you're in the category of Dam. You should wait to eat until you're in the category of Adam. After you dive in, you're not Dam anymore. At that point, you're Adam. It says in Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, Perek Aleph, the Navi introduces us to Elkanah. From the words that the Pasuk used to describe Elkanah, Chazal tell us that Elkanah was a great, great tzaddik. They go so far to say that he was as great as Avraham Avinu. He was mamish like Avraham Avinu. The only thing that the Pasuk tell us that Elkanah did was that he was oil regal, and he bowed down when he went into the Azara, not Avodah Zarah, but into the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, and he was Oil Regal three times a year. He went up to the Beis HaMikdash. The obvious question. That makes him a tzaddik? You're going to compare him to Avraham Avinu? It's a chiyuv, Oil Regal. It's a chiyuv, it's incumbent on every year. If he doesn't do it, he is over. He wasn't Oil Regal. He did something that he should. He wasn't Mekayim something that he could have. He could have been Oil Regal and he didn't. So why are you calling him a tzaddik? I'm going to say somebody gave tzedakah. He's a tzaddik. It's a chiyuv. If someone comes asking you for money to give, you have to give tzedakah. Someone shakes a little of an asterisk. He's a tzaddik. No. So what is it? What's going on here? What did Elkanah do that was so special? Rashi tells us that each year that Elkanah was oil regal, he took a different route. So Rashi tells us. Who cares? Who cares how he went? We care how he went. We care if he took the Amtrak or the New Jersey Transit. What's the difference? He went. He was oil regal. Rashi's telling us, Rashi's answering a question. That's what Rashi's doing. Rashi's answering the question. What is the greatness of Elkanah? You know what the greatness of Elkanah was? He went a different route every single time. Why? Because he wanted to have a sheiches with the people. He was going to travel, he went one way, he took the southern side and he went all the way around and he had traveled. He went far. What did he do? Where did he stay? They weren't necessarily motels. He knocked on the yid's door, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Can I sleep over tonight? Can I get some food? And they said, sure, come on in. He said, so Rabbi Yid, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to be Eile Regal. Oh, you're going to be Eile Regal? And they start schmoozing. And before you know it, the person who stayed in his house, he also went, the owner of the house went along. And he went another stop, and another stop. And then the next year, he went a different route. And every year, he went a different route. And he's accredited with returning that Klal Yisrael started being Eile Regal. At that point in time, Klal Yisrael, they were not being Eile Regal. They had a chiyuv. It's true, but they weren't doing it. He was the one that reinvented it. He got Klal Yisrael invigorated again to do the mitzvah of Eile Regal. That's why he's a tzaddik. Just like Avraham Avinu, the Medrash tells us, he would invite people into his home. He would give them a whole meal. He'd let them sleep in his house, Achila, Shtiyah, and Lina, Eshel. And then they're ready to go. And he'd say, okay, here you go, here's a big bill. He'd give them a bill for thousands and thousands of dollars. And they'd look at the bill and say, I can't pay that, too much money. He says, okay, listen, I'll give you one way you don't have to pay this bill. You know how? Thank God! You know where you got this food from? You know where you got the opportunity to sleep here? It's all from God. There's a God who runs this world. The food comes from God. The house comes from God. If you thank Him, we'll rip up the bill right now. And guess what? They all thank God. It was a choice of thanking God or paying a big bill. They all chose to thank God. As I stated in the Medrash, He brought people to the acknowledgement that there's a God. He got people to bless God. Elkanah. That's what he's accredited with. He reinvented the Klal Yisrael. He got them invigorated to realize the Ribbono Shel Olam, to go to the Oile Regel, to go visit the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can visit the Ribbono Shel Olam all over the world, but there was the Shechinah rested by the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Ikar Shechinah was. That's why Elkanah is called a tzaddik. The Medrash tells us, Ari Miklot, someone kills by accident, He needs to go run to the Ari Miklat. You know what? Medrash tells us there were signs all over Eretz Yisrael. Ari Miklat that way with an arrow. Ari Miklat, and then everywhere you went there were signs to tell you exactly how to go. Why am I someone wanted to get to the base of Mikdash? He wanted to be Eile Rego. There were no signs. No signs. That sounds funny. Don't you think the people who are going to be Eile Rego to go into the base of Mikdash, we should have signs saying it's base of Mikdash this way? And for the Eile Rego, don't put up signs. If we gotta put up signs, we'll let them just figure it out themselves. Didn't have GPS in those days, obviously. So what's going on over here? If Shad is obvious, as we were saying, the point of having a connection with someone else. The person who's being Eile Rego, we don't want them to know how to go without having to ask. We want them to have to keep on knocking on doors. How do I go? Shalom Aleichem Rabbiid, how are you? They're going to talk to him, they're going to have a sheikhus with him. You're going to be Eile Rego, and he'll get more people into the covenant of the Rebbeinu Shalom. They'll say, oh, maybe I'll also be go. Maybe not this year, maybe next year. Not everything happens right away, but they'll have a sheikhus with him. The one who is going to Ari Miklat, he's running to a refuge camp. He killed by accident. Not Aynis, not that it was unavoidable. He was not careful. He didn't kill on purpose, but someone who's running to Ari Miklat did something wrong. So him we don't want you to talk to. We want him to run. Here's the sign, Mr. Ari Miklat guy. Don't talk to anybody. Don't stop at go. Go straight to jail. You'll see all the signs. That's the Yisrael over here. Adam ki yev or besaray. We want you to go to Aaron HaKoyen. We need to realize what is this Taras. It's not just a machla. The point is that we have to surround ourselves. We have to get a sheiches to people like Aaron HaKoyen and his descendants of an Oye Shalom and a Roide Shalom. And those are the people that we have to be around. And they are the ones that have a positive influence on us. We'll start a little bit of a Haggadah. Pesach is coming in a few weeks. I'll try to say like one part at the end of the parashah here. We say in Haggadah, Baruch Hamokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shinos Antari Lama Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Keneged Abor, Bonim Divrei Torah. Everyone knows, on Pesach, we recite the Haggadah and say that Hashem who gave us the Torah should be Baruch, should be benched. We discuss this in Tfilah here, and what it means, Baruch. Haggadah continues and describes their four sons, the ones that are recounted in the Torah. There's the wise son, there's the wicked son, there's the simple son, and there's the son who does not know how to ask. What is the significance in pointing out that there are four sons? Why do we need to know this? And moreover, why are we mentioning the wicked son? We're talking about all the good stuff. It's Haggadah Shel Pesach. We're talking about Ribbono Shel Olam taking us out of Mitzrayim. Why are we even mentioning this Russia, this wicked son? The Panami office in Pesachim says, men, women, and children are all obligated in the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis. Four Kaisis. Rabbi Yehuda says, what is the benefit of having children drink wine? Children are supposed to drink the wine too. He explains, on Erev Pesach we give them nuts and sweets. Why? So they will not go to sleep. What is the answer to Rabbi Yehuda's question? Panim Yafis, in the name of his father, says, as soon as a child is old enough to understand mitzvahs, his father becomes obligated in chinuch, teaching his child how to perform the mitzvahs. This applies to all mitzvahs of the Torah except the mitzvah of saying Shema at night. Chinuch, the mitzvah of chinuch does not apply there. The Gemara, the Tosis in Bracha says, a father is not obligated to teach his child and be mechanachim in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night. Why? Because Pashas, the father is not home. Normally a child will go to sleep early, a small child will go to sleep early, and his father is at work, he's learning, he's at work, he's not home. So therefore, practically speaking. Now you'd ask, what is the point in staying the children obligated in the midst of the Arba Kaisis? The children are sleeping already. It's late at night. We just explained why he doesn't have a chiyuv and chinuch of Shema, because the children go to sleep. So why is there an Indian of Dal Kaisis? Why do we say, is you don't think Mechanachan and Dal Kaisis? Children are sleeping, it's normal. The answer to the question is the children should not be sleeping. The father has to make certain that the children are awake so they can teach them how to perform the mitzvah of the Dal Kaisis. Let's understand a little bit better here what's going on with these children, the Arba Bonim. Parai says, I do not know Hashem. So Pari says. The Arizal says that Pari was saying that he does not recognize the Shem Havaya. Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's Yud Kei Vav Kei? Yud Kei Vav Kei is Amidas Harachna. Elikim is Amidas Hadin, and Yud Kei Vav Kei is Amidas Harachna. What does the Arizal mean? Zok Techido. Klal Yisrael was supposed to be in servitude in Mitzrayim for 430 years, which is the gematria of anybody? Elikim five times. Elikim five times, not Elikim, don't use a kuf to get your gematria, even though I'm saying Elikim, but there's a hey over there. So the gematria of Elikim is 86, and 86 times 5 is 430. You can take out a calculator and test it for yourself. Sometimes I tell you I don't know if the gematrias work, this one works. They were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. But they only worked for 86 years. Chazal tells us they only worked for 86 years. So five Elikims, 5 times 86 is 430, and they only worked, Klaiso, for one Elikim, 186 years. Four of the five Elikims, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, changed to Havaya. He really was supposed to have 430 years of hard labor, five Elikims. But because the Baruch Hashem in this tremendous chesed, four of them he twisted, he turned into Hashem Havaya, and they only had to work for 86 years. Pari told Moshe they did not recognize that Hashem was changing four of the five Elikim to Havaya. He said, no, you're going to stay here and work for 430 years. Pari said, did not recognize the name of Havaya, and he will keep Klal Yisrael in servitude for the full five Elikims, 430 years. Kais. The word Kais. Chof Vav Samach is the same gematria as Elikim 86. So it works. Perhaps we drink the Dalot Kaisis to remind us of the Rachamim of the Rebbein Yishalayim of changing the four Elikim Savayas. We drink Dalot Kaisis. The fifth one we know is Elio, but that one we don't drink. But the four we drink. We drink four because we're thanking the Rebbein Yishalayim that he took these Elikims, this Midas Hadin, that we're supposed to be in servitude for that many more years, 86 times four, and the Rebbein Yishalayim turned it to Midas Harachamim, and we did not. Be Yosef says, "V'ha'yu mesapim b'tzias Mitzrayim kol oisei halayla." The Chachamim spoke and recounted the events which occurred at Yitzias Mitzrayim all of that night. We are obligated to see ourselves as leaving Mitzrayim in the night of Pesach. Oisei halayla, that night. The Chacham spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim that very night, as if they left Mitzrayim that night. When we leave, we have to say, Pesach comes this year, Tav Shinayim Dalet, this year, we have to see ourselves that we also left Mitzrayim, this year, not just that Klal Yisrael left in Mitzrayim. That Barbanel says, Shelo Yishanu Kol Oisei, the Chachamim did not sleep the night of Pesach, because Klal Yisrael did not sleep the night they left Mitzrayim. The first part of the night that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were engaged in the mitzvah HaPesach, the Korban Pesach. During the second part of the night, they were occupied with leaving Mitzrayim. Since we are obligated to see ourselves leaving Mitzrayim, the Chacham stayed awake the entire night of Pesach. That's why they stayed awake, because they're leaving now. Klal Yisrael, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, stayed awake. So too, they're going to stay awake. Says in the Pri Tzadik, Lechem Oini, according to Gemara Pesachim, Lechem Oini she'oinin alav dvarim harbe. The bread of Pesach is called Lechem Oini because it is bread from which we answer many things. From the Lashon of Ono, to answer. We learn from this that we need to say that God in a question and answer format. The son asks the father, or someone else asks, even two Talmidei Chachamim, or two non-Talmidei Chachamim, one person asks another. If there's no son, the wife asks him. There's no wife, the man asks himself. You don't even have two people. Someone, unfortunately, is sitting alone by the Seder. There's no one else with him. He asks himself the questions. The reason for this obligation is because a question and answer form makes a person feel something anew. You feel a chiddush. I ask myself a question. Why is this? And I have an answer. I got an answer, even if I knew the answer before. But I got an answer. It's like mechadish something. Something new is happening. We're leaving now. We're leaving Mitzrayim tonight. The night of the Agada Pesach. The night when we say the Agada, we're leaving. That's why it's a question and answer form. If you ever wondered why we have all the questions, why don't you just tell the answers? Because when you have a question and then you have an answer, it becomes fresh, it becomes real to you. It says in the Gula Asaylan, She'eni Yedei Alishol, Rabbi Shloima Halevi Alkabat, the one who does not know how to ask is not a fool. She'eni Yedei Alishol, he's not a fool. This son has fear of Hashem, but does not know how to properly formulate his questions, as his brothers the Chacham and the Tam do. She'eni Yedei Alishol, not sure that he doesn't want to ask. He's scared. He doesn't know how to formulate his questions. He does not ask because he's afraid that his questions will come out in a way that makes it appear that he's lacking Yerush Shemayim. As I state in the Gula says, Merely. The father must speak to his son, or someone else should speak to another person, and get him to open up to what's really inside him. The father has to speak to him until he can get him to be strong in his Yerush Shemayim and teach him how to ask questions properly. And you're at a Seder, you're at a Pesach Seder, one person asks another person a question. You should try, each one has to try to instill each other Yerush Shemayim, how to ask questions, what to ask. The Geulah Sa'ilim explained that the son is called She'en Yedei Elisha, although he knows, he understands what happened. Not that he doesn't know what happened. He knows that Klai Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim. He knows that we're the people of the Rebbeinu Shel'olam. But he does not know how to ask. Maram Shik says, Ma'isir Belezer of Yeshua Belezer ben Azariah. Belezer ben Azariah was a Kohen, and Yeshua was a Levi, and nonetheless they were married by Sipi Tzen Tzayim. We learn from this that even Kehanim and Leviim are obligated in Sipi Tzen Tzayim. Marbe. Remember, you might have thought Kehanim and Leviim wouldn't have the mitzvah. Because Kehanim and Leviim didn't work in Mitzrayim. They were exempt from work. What's the point? The Geula that we celebrate on Pesach is not only the Geulas HaGuf. Rather, the main Geula, the Geulas HaNefesh. The Kehanim and Leviim were stuck in Tumas Mitzrayim. The Nefesh was still locked up. I mean, that's what the whole Seder is. It was through Yetzias Mitzrayim that Klal Yisrael was zeichet to the Torah. The Geulas HaNefesh and receiving Torah applied to all of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps now we can have a better understanding of the need for the four sons. Klal Yisrael is made up of all different types. There are those who are righteous. There are those who are not. There are those who are scared to ask. And there are those who are ignorant. Klal Yisrael as a whole taken out of Mitzrayim. Men, women, and children were all redeemed and given the Torah HaKadosh. The receiving of the Torah is what made Klal Yisrael into a cohesive nation. The Gemara Pasuk in Shmoy says, V'idatem ki ani Hashem, the night of Yitzhak time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that He treats us with rachem because we are His children. We keep the children awake for this monumental mitzvah since they too leave Mitzrayim every year on the night of Pesach. We are all children of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's a Rasha, but the Rasha is asking questions he doesn't know, he doesn't mean to, he's also taken out of Mitzrayim. We're one cohesive unit. We have to show the Rebbeinu Shel Olam we want, we have to show the Rebbeinu Shel Olam we care. I was just at a wedding a short while ago, and there's a little David Shlita was there. And a bracha comes over to him. He just came back from Eretz Yisrael, apparently. And if Hillel David asks him, he says, "So did you get a one-way ticket here, two-way tickets? In other words, did you come back to America now and you're staying, or are you going back to Eretz Yisrael?" So the bracha says, "No, it's a one-way ticket. I'm here." So if Hillel David asks him, "So do you have a shtickle prepared? In other words, do you have a shtickle tayr prepared? You're going to get into yeshiva over here. You have to go to get tested. You're going to ask you to say over shtickle tayr. Let's see that you know how you know something." So he says, "I said no." The whole day says, "You don't have anything to say?" He says, "No, of course I have what to say. Of course I can say over there. I shouldn't prepare a shtickle. Yeah, I'll do it. It'll take me a few minutes." The whole day said, "You know, you remind me of a story." He says, the great Litvisher Rabbonim, there was a couple of them, they were sitting and learning, and the Cossacks came in, and they said, "We're killing you guys. We're killing you. But, do you have any last request?" So the Litvisher Rav says, "Yes." He says, "What's your request?" "I just need 20 minutes. 20 minutes, you can kill me. Just give me 20 minutes. So the Cossack asks, "What do you need 20 minutes for? What are you going to do in 20 minutes? He says, "You don't understand. I'm in the middle of learning a Shver Rambam. I don't understand what the Rambam is saying. I can't die not knowing understanding this Rambam. Well, give me 20 minutes, and I'm going to get the Rambam, and then you can kill me." Hill David said, "You know what the godless in the story is? Number one, obviously, that he was able to have the frame of mind that the Akwasek comes in and says, 'I'm going to kill you,' and he says, 'I want to finish this Rambam.' But more than that," he says, "much greater than that, is that this guy had this Rav, he had Siyata Vishmaya, then in 20 minutes he's going to understand the Rambam. Shrei Rambam, 20 minutes, that's all he needs. Who says? Maybe it'll take him hours and hours. Every Rambam, you're just going to get him 20 minutes. He's telling this Bacha. And you show the Rebbeinu Shalom Yikir, no matter what you want, the Rambam says, yeah, I'll get a Shtikl Taira, no big deal. He says, you make it sound like it's nothing. You reminded me of the story. What does that mean? If you show the Rebbeinu Shalom Yikir, we're all children of the Rebbeinu Shalom. We left Mitzrayim. The Rebbeinu Shalom, sometimes he sends us tests. He's giving us opportunity to get schar. That's what it's all about. We have to take the opportunity. Pesach coming. We have to prepare ourselves and show the Rebbeinu Shalom that we understand that we're his children. And we're going to try to live up to it. Have a good Shabbos.